This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Today on Cravings on Joy 94.9, we are taking you to the races. We will speak very shortly with Steve from the rooftop at QT, who's, all in bed with Mum Champagne. So we've got a lot going on. We'll be back to you very shortly. We are indeed 1 minute past one. No news today because my love has gone away. I think that's actually a song about milk, but we'll go with news. Tad Lombardo is back after last week's minor technical issues. He's in the studio. He couldn't be away. He's even wearing a chef's jacket. Tad, welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
Good. How did your day start?
Started making chocolate, as it always does. And it's been busy. People buying their pre-race food and things like that.
Do people eat races, their chocolate for the races?
Oh, they bring it for something afterwards.
Are you making chocolate horses?
No, I didn't. No horses, just the normal thing. But we've also got some Halloween chocolate.
Yeah, well,
happening.
It's that time of the year as well. And we need to say hello to Linda. Very shortly, we're going to play a little something for Linda because we know she's listening in New Providence in New Jersey.
That's right.
But before we do that, I actually spent my morning this morning on the rooftop of the QT Hotel.
How was that?
Yeah, look, I struggled. It was okay.
I can tell.
Somebody who runs that little space is Steve. He's actually out at Flemington. So today we're spending our time talking about the races. Steve's at Flemington, and he's going to give us a bit of feel of what's going on and whether anybody... I did a very successful... I'm struggling on my words. Successful sobriage this morning where I took the top off a bottle of Mum very simply. Steve's out at the races. Steve, hello.
How are you this morning?
It's this afternoon. It's 1 o'clock already, mate. You're a tad behind us.
A little bit.
Let's pretend we're talking to Queensland. Hey, what's going on out at the track?
Oh, look, it's absolutely vibrant out here. I'm in the Bose Marquee here at the moment, and we're on race three, and very fun.
Oh, race three already, and I haven't yet put on a bet.
It's absolutely going off out here at the Birdcage, and the whole racetrack has a great vibe about it. Every great sunny day, champagne flowing, beer flowing. It's fantastic.
What is it about the races that appeals to you guys? And obviously, QT is a new addition to Melbourne's hospitality scene. What is it about the races that makes you want to work and get involved? Is it because it's all about champagne and glamorous people, or is it the food element that fits in? How does it fit in with you guys?
Look, it's a number of things. QT as a brand is very much revolves around the creative industries of fashion, art, design, food and beverage, travel, and the races really fit perfectly with that in the terms of that they really align with fashion beautifully, food, champagne, etc. So this morning's breakfast, Derby Day breakfast on the rooftop at QT was an epitome of that, where we had beautiful food that was produced by our wonderful chef Paul Ethan and from Pascal Bar and Grill and Mum Champagne. We had the sobriage where we had the
I was the first to do the sobriage this morning and very successfully. I still have the top in my pocket.
And you've got to keep it. It's apparently very good luck to keep it forever.
Right. Forever.
Forever.
Forever. I have a champagne cork in my pocket forever. you talked about the sort of connection with food and all of that with the races. It's become very much a style thing rather than, you know, 20 years ago we would have thought about who's going to win the Derby or any one of a number of races that are happening at Flemington today. But it seems to become more about lifestyle and being seen and being involved. Why do you think that's changed?
I think it's the same as what the QT philosophy is about, bringing an experience to life for people, and people want to experience more than just one thing. And for our QT, it's all about the food, the art, the design, and bringing that experiential level to a hotel. Likewise with the races, same thing with food and fashion and the races in general, and that whole experience that people like to enjoy rather than just one facet of the races.
Steve, just a quick question for you. Over the course of the week, how many people will you be catering for out at the races?
At QT, overnight we'll do up to 200 covers in the restaurant. So over the period of the race, spring carnival, we'll probably do 10,000 plus people through the hotel.
Wow, that's amazing.
If we think about those that don't know the QT brand, and this may almost be for the program that follow us, the Escape Pod, which is a travel program, give us a bit of a précis on the QT brand as such.
So QT was born in 2010 on the Gold Coast, where we've got QT Gold Coast, and we introduced QT Port Douglas, QT Sydney, QT Canberra, QT Falls Creek, QT Bondi. Now we've got QT Melbourne, and plus we're about to get our first international properties in New Zealand with Wellington and Queenstown coming on board in early 2017. And as a brand, we're very much an experiential hotel, boutique designer, experiential, that brings a real food and beverage element to life within the hotel. So it's not just about putting your head on a pillow, it's about actually having fun and enjoying your time within the hotel. Just the guests and locals work. So we're very much engaged with the local creative industries in each of the cities that our hotels and resorts are based in.
Steve is our guest. He heads up the rooftop space at the QT Hotel, which is in just around the corner from Joy here. We can almost see it from our office in Russell Street. Your phone's getting a bit ropey there, Steve. I'm not sure if it's you or us. So either stand still or we'll catch up with you another time. A star-studded cast there this morning on your rooftop, if dare I say it. I caught up with Curtis Stone and Lisa Wilkinson was there from Channel 9, a bunch of other people. How important is having those faces that are associated with races, associated with your brand?
Look, again, like those people are not necessarily just associated with the races, but they're associated with the fashion, the entertainment, the food. So they fit in really nicely with what our brand stands for across those creative industries. And those people are really important, and they fit in with the ethos of what QT stands for.
Are you there all week, try the veal sort of people?
Absolutely.
So if anybody's out and they happen to be heading to the Birdcage, they've decked themselves up in their finery looking for some good Terps and Tucker, they will find you at the Birdcage, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Mate, congratulations on a great breakfast this morning and on the launch of QT. It's a wonderful addition and very much a Melbourne addition to the way that we want to live.
Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you, Steve.
To be in Melbourne.
Excellent. The website for QT, if people want to know a little more.
qthotelsandresorts.com.au. And I should say for all those aspiring cooks and chefs out there, we've got an amazing knife store as well called Canto, which we have the exclusive rights.
Yeah.
The sweets and knives, which are beautifully handcrafted Japanese knives outside that are produced in Sakai outside of Osaka. And they're amazing knives. There's a nice sharpening surface as well. So, it's an amazing little store in the laneway in Portland Lane next to QT as well.
And dare I say, there's also some really good Korean food.
Yeah, definitely. We've got hot sauce in the laneway as well, which is a beautiful Japanese-Korean street food bar as well.
Excellent. Steve, thanks for talking to us. Enjoy the races, mate.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That phone was getting a little ropey and doing my head in. But look, you know, they've got a really good brand, and you know, like I said, it's probably good for the escape pod. But QT's they have a beautiful pastry shop on the ground floor, yep, just around there in Russell Street. The Korean food is awesome.
It sounds pretty incredible. I haven't been down there yet, but
and those knives, you know, yeah, Kanto knives, they're amazing,
beautiful.
Hey, I've had an email already that has come in from, not from New Providence, New Jersey this week. It's actually come in from a place called Gillette, New Jersey. Where is Gillette?
It's about 15 minutes away from New Providence.
Is it
New
closer
Jersey
to Hoboken? Because you know I'm obsessed with Hoboken.
It's a bit further away, so it's a bit more in
okay
the hills.
So Linda says she's listening from Gillette. Matt and Sam wanted to listen, but they fell asleep.
Oh, my nephews.
Who are Matt and Sam?
My two nephews.
Excellent.
Two of my nephews, I should say.
But Linda is awake. And because Linda is awake, Linda, we've got a little treat for you. I understand that you're having a celebration this week. So because you're listening all the way from New Jersey, this is for you. Ted, is there something you want to say to Linda?
I do. I want to say happy birthday. It's a few hours early for you, but I'll ring you tomorrow, my time.
So
tomorrow,
when time. Linda's birthday is the 30th of October
the 29th.
Or the 29th? So
29th.
It's the 29th here,
yep,
and it has been, well, now for about
well, it's 15 hours behind.
Hours. Ah, okay. So yeah, in 2 hours' time, Linda, it's happy birthday to you. We do hope you have a lovely day, and it's nice that yes you're listening all the way over there. You, of course, can interact with the program as well, 0427-JOY949. Should you wish to send us a text message, you can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1300-JOY949. Or you can tweet to CravingsJoy949 as well. Any way that you want to get in touch with us, we are here to have the conversation with you. Today, we've sort of got a bit of a mixed bag. Most people are having a bit of an extended long weekend. I don't
yes
know. Don't imagine you are.
Well, no. After tomorrow, I will be. I've got a week off, so.
Oh, that's a week off?
A week, yeah.
You should go to the doctor if you've got a week off.
I'm planning on it.
Yes. A week off is almost unprecedented. What are you going to do?
It is. Well, the market's closed on Tuesday, so mm-hmm. That's a gazetted public holiday.
Yep.
And the other days, I've just decided to take off ahead of the Christmas rush, so to
yeah
allow me to catch my breath a bit. And
well, because you will go ballistic with the
I
Christmas
will,
rush.
Definitely.
Right?
Yep. Mm. So, but I have no plans other than
rest
doing
and relaxation.
Things as they come. Yep.
You know, read a book. Listen to a new album that you
exactly
find on something.
Yep.
It's 12 minutes past when you are on Cravings on Joy 94.9. Very shortly, we are going to talk cheese, and we will continue the races discussion with our good buddy Alison Frames, who is a good mate of Tad's and my own.
Yep.
She's the food editor of the Weekly Review. She's going to be swanning about the birdcage as well. So much to get to and not a lot of time. You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are. It is indeed 14 and a half minutes past one. Linda has sent a message from Gillette, New Jersey, saying thank you so much for my birthday wishes. That was so nice, Linda. It's a pleasure. And your son will ring you tomorrow to wish you
he
a
will
very formal happy birthday. Tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? Monday. So whilst Monday we're in the middle of this long weekend craziness
yep
that goes until, I believe, Wednesday, it's Halloween.
It is Halloween.
Halloween and for America is much bigger than Halloween for us.
It is. And it's interesting. When I first moved to Australia 20 years ago,
yes,
you very rarely heard anything about Halloween.
No, it's everywhere. Super.
It's everywhere. Yeah. And I'm happy about that because I think it's something a bit of fun. And
so you know
different
what I've done for kids that come to do trick or treat?
Tell me you didn't bring
I've
an apple.
No. I've got okay a whole lot of little mini bottles of gin. Or I have Brussels sprouts that I have poached and dipped in chocolate.
Perfect.
So they think they're having a chocolate, and when they bite into it, it's a Brussels sprout, which is disgusting.
My uncle was a dentist.
Yes.
And he used to give toothpaste and toothbrushes to the kids.
Yeah, good for him. See, I think that's clever. Somebody who I know is wearing makeup today at the Pran Market is part of a cheese festival with you, Tad,
yes,
happening from the 10th of November right here in Melbourne in Carlton. His name is Anthony Femia, and his raclette and the way that he plays with it actually gets me very excited in ways that I cannot describe on the wireless. Anthony, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Anthony.
I saw you with a, I believe, blue raclette that was warm that you were sort of shaving over some prosciutto in a little video last week. I cannot use on air the words that I expressed my pleasure with, but needless to say, it was a little...
It was very sensual.
It was a little blue. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. Fantastic day today.
So, Cheese Festival last week, and Tad, you're obviously part of this as well. 26,000 people through the Pran Market for Cheese Festival?
That's incredible. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah.
It was a good day. I mean, the weather wasn't perfect, but still, people came out for it, and that was the important thing.
Isn't it a good day to be in the Pran Market when the weather is a little bit shit?
It is.
Well, that's it. You feel less guilty when you're eating cheese in colder weather.
That's true.
There is no guilt associated with eating cheese at all, ever. End of story.
The other day, I was in the market and I was starving, and I had to go get one of the toasted cheese
sandwiches.
The world's
best grilled cheese
sandwiches. Well, they are, and I had two of them, and I ate them myself. So.
Hey, Anthony, tell me about the makeup you're wearing today.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought we'd do a zombie thing. Today with one of us dressing up as Michael Jackson, but he got stage fright and decided to come normally. So we have a few zombies and no Michael Jackson. So when Thriller came on the loudspeaker, we were supposed to do a little dance in the aisle, but it didn't happen.
Cheese and Halloween, apart from people's choice of costumes and behaviour, because it is kind of a cheesy holiday.
Exactly.
How does cheese sit with Halloween?
Oh, I guess in the parties, the celebration. So things like Triple Cream Brie, Comté, the Alpine Gruyère in France, things like that. Everyone's going to be celebrating.
Salivating or celebrating, did you say?
Bit of both.
So one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you today was because Tuesday we've... most of us have been invited to somebody's house or to a party or to an event because, I don't know, for 2 miles there's horses running around. It takes about 4 minutes or less. But we take a public holiday and we get invited to parties. So if we were to go and try and put together, let's imagine we're going to be civilized and take a cheese board to a Melbourne Cup event. What are we going to put on it? What are we taking? What are the sort of key things that you must think about when you're constructing a cheese board?
Yeah, if you want to first think about what style of wine you're going to be serving. So for most of
let's assume it's champagne.
Definitely. So champagne or even Moscato or sparkling rosé. You want to go the rich buttery. You want something that's going to be cleansed on the palate by the bubbles. So things like, I guess, fromage d'Auvergne that everybody knows. That rich brie with a little smiley cow. And you've got the Felice de Bourgogne, which is another famous triple cream brie from France. And then one that we serve is Jean Grand. It's a little bit more of a farmhouse style, but all three of those just have that typical rich, buttery texture and that sort of soft, soft, velvety flavour. It's just a hint of sweetness at the front of the tongue, and then it's just richness all the way through. And then you're looking at things like strawberries coming out of Queensland or those really large blueberries. That would be the ultimate pairing. You want to kind of avoid quince paste because it becomes almost like a cream and jam sandwich when you put those two together.
Oh, I was going to ask about quince paste.
No, quince is more for the spicy cheeses, things like manchego, things that have that sort of acid and bitterness, that sort of tickle the tongue.
So kind of like imagining a blue, like a good roquefort or something of that nature
definitely.
With a bit of quince paste.
Definitely. If you're looking at a hut, yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say, what are the mistakes we make? Because that's a mistake that I make a lot. By putting out soft or delicate cheese with a quince or a Cabernet paste.
Mm-hmm. The other mistake we always make is we pair blues with the big, rich reds, the things that are high in tannin, whether it's a Cab Sav or a Shiraz. And what happens there is the spice of the blue vein together with the tannin creates a metallic flavour on the mouth, which is very unwanted. So with blue cheeses, you want a contrast. You want something really sweet and delicious, though. If it's a dense blue, you're looking at fortified wine, things like port, Tokay or Muscat, especially from the Rutherglen. Or if it's a softer, sort of velvety texture in the blue, you're looking at Sauternes-based style. So Botrytis, Sauternes, of course, Noble One from the Borderly, Heggies in South Australia. And the best is, like, you bring out your inner child, you put a little bit of blue on the mouth, and then you wash it down with a dessert wine, and I can tell you it's one of the best sensory experiences of my life, is having, having that spice of the blue.
Let's call it an intellectual orgasm, or an orgasm of the tongue.
Yeah, sensory, sensory delight.
Anthony Femia is my guest. He is, of course, maker and manga at the Pran Market. You can visit him any day of the week. What days is the Pran Market open, Ted?
Every day except Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
And not open Tuesday this week because the horses, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
So you do these raclette. What is it about the raclette sandwiches you make? Let's talk to people about what it is that you do.
So once again, it's the sensory delight that we first trigger your memory. Everyone had an amazing cheese toastie when they were a kid, or an amazing experience, whether it was a hangover as well as teenagers. So when you first see the raclette, or you see one of that grilled cheese, it triggers a memory point. And then the smell and aroma is about 40% of our flavour receptors. So you've got those two covered. And then you hear the cheese bubbling away under the raclette, and then you watch it, the sensory delight of watching something, being that little cheese waterfall. So we tilt the half cheese up and then scrape it over the kiffle potatoes and shiitake. And then when you taste it, that shiitake just coats the mouth with umami, and then the cheese coats the middle of your tongue with fat. And then a little bit of paprika gives you a hint of savoury. So it covers all the sensory characteristics from sight right through to memory through to flavour. And then the sandwiches, they're very crunchy with that sourdough bread once it's toasted. And with the extra cheese in the middle, it's really stringy. So we all bring out just experiences of kids and trying to get the stringiest cheese possible when you have melted cheese. So,
It's interesting.
I don't imagine I'm the only person that has to step away and have a moment by myself after that description.
My mouth is watering talking. I've got to.
So is mine, and I'm going to have to go to the Pran Market for cheese. Or you could put one in a Sherpa, courier one in for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do an Uber delivery.
yeah, it's like Uber Eats without the $5 slug you charge.
Yeah. Right.
It is interesting, though, because it's whether you're talking about cheese, chocolate, wine, it's about using all your senses when you're eating.
Exactly.
And it's enjoying it. It's not just, chewing it, swallowing it. You're enjoying everything, each part of the process.
Yeah.
Well, people think wine is just about what you have in your mouth,
right?
But it's the nose and their interaction between the nose and the mouth. But just the color. You look at wine, and if it's got beautiful clarity and the color of the wine, it entices you first, whether it's a really bright yellow Semillon from the Hunter Valley, or whether it's a deep, rich Cabernet or an almost inky black Saporavi. I mean, it's got to entice you with colour.
That's right, and then it's the combination of the wine and the food, or vice versa, that you're eating with it.
It's like an angel vomiting down your throat in the most appropriate way.
That's right.
Anthony, you and Tad both involved in a cheese festival called Bon Fromage, and if I look outside the studio, I can actually see a poster on the wall here at Joy. Talking about Bon Fromage, it is a 10-day celebration of European cheeses happening in Carlton from the 10th of November. Yeah. What can people expect from Maker and Monger?
Yeah, we're going to do a fondue grilled cheese sandwich using Marcel Petit Comté. It's France's most popular cheese. It's amazing Gruyère.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to recreate the fondue experience, but in a toasty, and we'll also be doing our raclette. If I can get blue raclette in time, we'll be doing that. If not, wow.
And I will be there every day if you're doing blue raclette. I will be actually hosting some of the, I need to confess, I'll be hosting some of the masterclasses for the festival, but I'll be excited if you've got blue raclette, because you need to be pushing me away with a stick.
Awesome. Well, let's fingers crossed customs clears them when they arrive next week, and if so, they're definitely going to be on the menu.
And Ted, what are you going to do at Bon Fromage?
Yeah, we're going to be doing obviously some demonstrations and how to talk about how to actually taste chocolate, and that will flow onto cheese as well, properly.
Because chocolate and cheese together is not the first thing that springs to mind. We think bread, we think crackers, we think queen's paste, my big mistake, or we think wine.
But it does work, and combinations that you never would think would work actually do. Parmesan and dark cheese works really well.
Blue cheese and chocolate.
Yeah, but it's blue cheese. I mean, if you go by the rules, it's blue cheese and milk chocolate. I actually find dark chocolate and blue cheese works.
And
really
was there a particular cake that Anthony might remember? blue cheese and chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
people
still talk about that. That was our first birthday cake that Tad made. It was a Roquefort and single origin dark chocolate ganache.
Yeah,
and that
it worked really well.
That. Yeah.
I might just leave the two of you for the next 20 minutes. I need to go and have a moment.
Just reminiscing.
Yes.
Oh, we need that again.
Yeah.
So masterclasses are Friday, Saturday, Sunday from the 11th, 12th and 13th of November and again on the 19th and 20th of November at the back of King and Godfrey off Faraday Street and corner of Lygon and Faraday Street in Carlton. Anthony will be there. Tad will be there. What is it? This is the third cheese festival we've talked about in as many weeks.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's
incredible.
It is. Yeah. And I think it, I mean, Melburnians love a festival. There's no doubt about that. But I think cheese is something that, I don't know. I don't know anybody that actually doesn't like cheese. I don't know.
Except vegans.
Well, no, that's right.
See, I've made the confession on this show before and probably quite foolishly with Tad in the studio, Anthony. I'm not a really big fan of chocolate.
I'm going to convert you. I have converted people before.
I do like a little sliver of like 80% dark, like bitter chocolate, but I can't get into chocolate as a thing.
Well, I've got for the festival, I've actually got my chocolate supplier sponsoring me for the chocolate.
Yeah,
and they're getting a brand new one in 85%, so you'll have to try that one.
Oh, see, I'll be on that because it will be bitter, right?
Yeah,
it's like me. It's like my heart. Bitterness is bitterness. I'm not sweet at all, indeed. And I eat a lot of blue cheese. Anthony, if people want to find you at Pran Market or want to know more, your website?
Yeah, it's www.makerandmunga.com.au, and that's and spelt out. And we're located in the Harbs Hall, like Tad, at the Pran Market. Just look for the old French antique food cart. And follow your nose, yes.
That's right.
Well, follow your nose is the smarter suggestion because those, your grilled raclette and your sandwiches are pretty much becoming legend in this town already. How long have you been there?
13 months now.
Yeah, see, just over a year and everybody knows who you are.
Yeah, I'm real.
And I do assure you, those of you that are playing at home, he has a gorgeous smile. Go and see this young man. There is not much about cheese that he doesn't know. I think if we were to talk about your qualifications, you're an internationally recognised and awarded cheesemonger.
Yes. Yeah. I competed in the top 10 World Cheesemonger Championships three years ago in Wye Valley and came fourth. So unfinished business. I was leading the competition and just messed up one of the categories and finished outside the top three. So,
but it does say something about your credentials and your knowledge of cheese, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun.
Don't be humble, Anthony.
No.
The humility doesn't get you anywhere on this program. And are you going to get a chance to zip out to Flemington and look at some horses run around a thing?
No, just going to be barbecuing on Tuesday. Just a group of us here at work. We're going to use it as an excuse to have a staff party, and we'll just be doing a very big barbecue.
And will there be cheese on the barbecue?
Yes, always.
Good work, Anthony Femia from Maker and Munga at the Pran Market. Delightful to talk to you as always, and we'll see you on the 11th of November at the back of King and Godfrey for the Bon Fromage Cheese Festival.
Can't wait.
Cheers, mate. Wait. Thank you.
See you later, Anthony.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And a little hint, Tad, that we don't put quince paste with cheese. Unless it absolutely needs it.
Absolutely. I think, you see a lot of those things in the grocery stores and things like that, and it's what's done. And
I've been buying Cabernet paste, which means but you know what? Can put that just on toast.
Yeah, but... But you know what, if you enjoy it with cheese, I think, you know, rules are made to be broken in that regard.
It's like Bailey's, I enjoy it with Cocoa Pops. It is almost 1:30, you're right here on Joy 94.9. We'll return very shortly. We're going to be talking sort of, we might be back at Flemington. We'll just see if we can get one of our good buddies on the phone.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
You are enjoying Joy 94.9. Tad, I just got distracted for a minute because
that's all right.
We're back out of the track.
Yes.
We're in the birdcage, and we have one of Melbourne's favourite food reviewers with us. Her name is Alice Zaslavsky. She is, of course, Alice in Frames. I think season 4 of MasterChef, if my memory serves me correct. Hello, darling.
Hello. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
How
are you?
I've got your good buddy, Tad, here.
Hi, Alice.
I know. I could sense him through the phone.
Hey, tell me what's...
I smell the chocolate.
Yeah.
What is happening at the track?
Well, it's all happening at the track. It's actually a marvellous day. So it's 25 degrees and the sun is shining. I'm at the moment, I'm looking out to a mounting yard so I can see actual horses, which is pretty rare.
River. But that's good.
And I'm very fortunate to be in the Wolf Glass Marquee at the moment. David Bromley is going to be doing some live painting at 2 p.m.
Right.
Then I'm going to head over to the Lexus Marquee and see what Ben Shurey's up to right at the top. He's got a little...
Your very good friend, Tad,
yes.
Ben Shurey.
Yeah. Mm. That should be good.
There's a lot of stuff going on. I think every marquee has really put it out this year. I'm going to head over to Emirates a little bit later. They've got... So it's an Australian theme this year, and it's all little shades of mint and sort of eucalyptus, I would say, more so.
Oh, right.
And I know, and the food there, okay, this is what I love, the food. The food in the MRC is inspired by all the different cities of Melbourne. And I'll give you a couple of examples. So there's lobster or crayfish. There's,
Adelaide.
There's,
Sorry, I thought we were playing a game.
Sausage in bread. Okay,
Brisbane.
Okay. There's a little quail dish.
Melbourne.
Melbourne. Yes, right,
yes,
Melbourne.
Well done. And then there's a pav. I wonder who the pav is.
The pie or the pav?
It's a pavlova.
Hobart.
Hobart, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So where's Brisbane in the mix? Is this somebody serving a couple of pots of beer and a cheese sandwich? Or a sausage roll?
A sausage. So in the general... Well, you know what? I don't think people even bring that this year because at Flemington they've got the park and it's literally like its very own food festival. So people can check out food from Daniel Wilson from Huxa Burger. They can get Biggie Small's kebabs. They've got the canafe, which is my new favourite thing, I think. It's like a baked custard with like a breadcrumb caramel on top. Pretty out of control.
Wow. Yum. Hey, are you out there swanning about with Curtis Stone?
I was swanning with Curtis Stone this morning at the QT Melbourne breakfast on the rooftop. That was pretty cool. I had to wait my turn, though, because you can imagine everybody wanted to get a photograph of Curtis.
I did.
I waited till the very end, and I got my snap.
Excellent. Alice, tell us about your hat.
Yes.
Now, this is almost a dedication to Winx. So Winx won the Cox Plate last week. It's won, I think, 14 races in a row and therefore is challenging a couple of horses, Maccabi Diva being one of them, as sort of the horse to take the mantle of Australia's greatest racehorse. But your hat is dedicated to them.
It really is. I think so. For me, Winx this year is very much the diva, and the diva of the course. And so I have dedicated my hat to it, but because I am such a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race, and because my hat is three-dimensional lace, it's like a sort of 3D printed lace by Jill Humphries from Millinery Jill, I have called it Lace Front Wink.
Oh, lace front wing. Slip it to go. So not a lace front wig. And so if I can describe it, you're wearing this sort of cute little black hat, and on top is a white... horse. That looks like lace.
And I have to, check it out. You can check it out on my Instagram. I'm going to shamelessly plug it at
as you should.
Frame. It's actually probably one of my favourite head pieces. I love hunting away with millinery every year, and this year there are so many interesting things hanging about, and I think technology is really opening the doors to some really interesting stuff, so especially with all the 3D printing around.
Well, 3D printing. You 3D print your shoes these years.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, look out. I think the next step will be virtual reality. So everybody's got to wear a pair of specs, and they just see the headpieces pop up that way.
It's a step too far for me. It's seriously. I remember spending a lot of time with a very well-known chef, Ainsley, a British chef out there in the birdcage one year. Apart from drinking copious amounts of booze, we got to talk about all of the things that we hate and the things that are too modern we both hate. I'm a bit of a traditionalist. We're just talking to Anthony Femi. Is there any cheese out there? Because we're just talking about cheese sandwiches. Yeah. I'm really hanging for a toasted cheese sarnie.
There is a lot of cheese, but the cheese hasn't come out yet. So the food is staggered. And at the moment, we're at the main course, actually.
Main course.
And I think the cheese, because we're working with the French system, the cheese will come straight after.
The derby itself. Have you got a hot tip for us?
Absolutely not. My hot tip is stay out of the sun, bring some flat shoes with you.
And wear sunscreen.
Wear sunscreen, exactly.
Well, I've got a tip for you. So if you're out there at the races, so in race 7, I think, which is the derby, let me have a look. I'm just having a look at my little app at the minute.
Okay. Are you just going to spin the wheel and hope for the
best? No. I've already chosen a horse, which I think you will like, Alice. It's called Swear. Swear, like as in swear, words. Like curse.
Oh, like curse.
Like saying swear. Shit or something, swear.
Okay, right.
So it's number like 3 swear. In race 7. I'd go and put a fiver on it if I were you.
Okay, I will do that. And what are the odds?
Oh, it's currently paying sixes, but it was out. It was a bit longer earlier in the morning when I got it. The other one, I think of one of our restaurants, Movida. This one, number 5, is called Morvada, which is paying $17. So maybe a lazy 2 each way on that as well.
I like it. Well, gambler or not, I think the odds of me having a great time, regardless of putting a punt on, are pretty high.
Yeah, well, quite.
Thanks so much for calling in, guys.
Hey, good to talk to you, and we'll catch you very soon.
Likewise. All the very best.
Bye, Alice.
That was Alice Zaslavsky. Of course, you know her as Alice in Frame. She is the food editor at the Weekly Review general lady about town. You're on Cravings here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Manny Fellel, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are. It's currently 22, I think 23 degrees, we're going to call it, Tad.
Yeah.
Heading for a top of 25, which is very close. We're sitting here on the top of our... in Bourke Street, top floor of our building. It is utterly beautiful.
Not a cloud in the sky, and we're in here.
Correct. Let's talk a little bit about your involvement in the Cheese Festival, first of all.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's always nice to get out of the kitchen when you can.
And out of the market?
And out of the market, sometimes, yeah. Different, you know, a change of scenery is like a holiday, as they say, you know. But I'm looking forward to the... the different master classes and teaching people things about chocolate and how to pair it with cheese and just having a bit of fun with it as well.
There's a lot of things we don't know.
There are a lot of things. I mean, surprisingly, a lot of people don't even realize that, like, chocolate is actually, derived from a plant. And you can use it for savory just as much as you can sweet. Chocolate has something like 600 flavor compounds associated with it. And wine has something like, I think, 400.
Yeah, so it's quite an intense experience.
Absolutely. I mean, the pairings that you can do with chocolate is almost limitless when you look at it that way.
I like to get the microplane out and put some shaved chocolate over a slow-cooked lamb dish or some venison or something. That's where beautiful. I use chocolate.
Yep, I've got I'll bring some in for you. It's a product that was brought out a while ago. It's not available anymore, but I've got a fair bit of it, and it was developed and made to resemble chocolate back in the early days. So it's gritty. You can actually still see
it's not carob, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. No, it's real. The real deal. But it's about I think it's about an 80%. And you can see the actual cane sugar granules in it. So it was way before.
Kind of raw.
Very much so. You have that raw flavor to it. And you can grate that over different things for texture and as well as the flavor.
What else is going on with Chocolato Lombardo out of the market, but more broadly, what's on the radar?
What's on the radar? For the foreseeable future, it's getting through the Christmas period.
Which is always nonsense, right?
It's crazy. Mm. It's crazy. So that's why I'm taking a week off next week. The shop will still be open the days the market is, but I won't be there.
Just to brace yourself. Yeah. Gird your loins, as they say. Gird your loins.
Exactly. And then, beyond that, it's just trying to innovate and get the brand out there a bit more and try to do things that are a little bit different and maybe a little bit off-center.
How much time do you spend, and, we talk to everybody else about what they do, how much time do you get to sort of spend researching what's happening in Europe or the United States or looking at your peers around the world and looking at the way they're playing with flavor combinations and working out how you can bring that into what our ingredients allow us to do in the opposite season?
Yeah, it's interesting. When I first started my business, one of the first things I was advised to do was to go out there and look at what other people were doing. I sort of strayed away from doing that. I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to be influenced. Yeah. And I've stayed true to that. It sounds big to say that, you know, big headed to say this, but I'd rather be the one that people try to copy as opposed to the one that's copying.
Trend leader, thought leader.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, obviously products come and go, and I do try to play with some, you know, Australian products and things like that that we have local here that are specific.
Is there anything with wattle seed or lemon myrtle and that sort of stuff?
Pepperberry, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Pepperberry is amazing.
Mm, it is. And even when feijoas are in season, even though not native to Australia.
Look at the New Zealand.
Yeah, that's right. But it works, you know. Mm. And playing with things like that as they become available, not always having a thought process in place. Okay, I'm going to work with this, and this. It's just when something, you know, being in the Paran market, you've got, you know, a plethora of ingredients that
and
come
you have
available.
Everything that's seasonal.
That's
as
right.
It is.
Mm. Yeah, and it's good. So, you know, Damien Pike, Mushroom Man, might come to me.
I love him.
Yeah, and he might say, "Oh, I've got this ingredient. You know, do you think you can do anything with it?" And it's like, "Oh, let me try." And you have a go. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. And that's
what's the strangest thing you've worked with? Is there something you've worked with that kind of hasn't worked that you really wanted to work but just was rubbish?
I didn't want it to work. It was a situation where I tried to make it work. It was a festival that we did at the market back was in my artisan cart days. Mm. And it was a garlic festival. And
I can see where this
chocolate.
Is going already.
Yeah, and I did it. Okay, I didn't try it because I felt I was a bit under duress at the time to do it. People that love garlic loved it.
See, I love garlic, and that would make me eat chocolate. But now, here, I'm going on a thing. Mm. I'm imagining a New Zealand fermented black garlic.
Yep.
That has a much more restrained flavour. So when I was in New Zealand a couple of months ago, I ate a creme brulee that was done with black garlic. So it's a much less astringent,
more subtle,
much softer garlic flavour. But that in a creme brulee was stunning.
Yeah, and I have done things with black garlic, and it has worked well. I think when you're tasting those sorts of things, you have to be in the right mindset for it as
correct.
Well, and be prepared for it, and not overthink it at the same time. Just taste it, take it for what it is, and try to enjoy it if you can.
But I guess, do you think about some of the stuff that our mate Ben Shuri does, where it's sort of kind of out of the box?
That's right.
Mm.
But it becomes something that's like, that works really well. Why haven't
we
done it?
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Mm. But it's those conventions and rules that we have in a lot of areas of culinary life that, you know, and I just think if it works, I'm happy to do it, you know, and if it doesn't, well, then you've learned, you know.
I very much follow the credo that rules were made to be broken.
Yep.
Are no rules in food. You know,
no.
Whoever was the first person to think, I might get some snails and put them with garlic and serve them with brioche, somebody would have thought they were bonkers.
Right.
The first time that somebody took kale and decided to make chips, I would like to find that person and punch them in the face, but... I just don't understand kale chips because chips are not made from green vegetables.
No.
They're made from potatoes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I think there's people sort of constantly going out on a limb to try and find that new thing. You know, quinoa was the thing.
Right.
God knows how I hated that and still do.
But they're catering to a specific target market as well. You know,
people like fads.
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things where I get a lot of people coming into the shop saying, "Oh, I only eat dark chocolate," you know, and I'm like, well, "Why? What? You know, I know people have their preferences.
For me,
you know,
I only eat dark chocolate because it's bitter. I don't do a lot of.
But
sweet.
You don't eat dark chocolate because it's healthy.
Oh God, no!
Right?
Don't be ridiculous.
But that's what people come
don't
in thinking.
Don't drink wine because it's healthy.
No, but you know what I'm saying? It's one of those things where you get people that are eating something just because someone somewhere told them it was healthy, and I'm like, "Well, you do realize dark chocolate still has sugar in it."
Yes.
So,
it also, do you realize that this makes you a moron?
Cars, cooking, cruises, we have it all. Weekends on Joy 94.9.
We are on the slide home, or if we can use some racing parlance, so we've been talking racing all day. We're coming around the final turn,
heading into
the straight. The escape pod are going to take you travelling, and if you've ever thought of putting your pussy on a plane, then today is the day to listen in, because they're talking about travelling with your pet, because apparently they can suffer some anxiety if you don't travel with them, or if you stick them in a kennel or a cattery or the pussery or whatever they call them. So Melanie's going to talk to Mark and Andre about travelling with your pets, which I think is very interesting.
Should be good.
You have pets, don't you?
I do. I've got two dogs.
With them?
No, we don't. I think it's probably a bit more stressful. Our dogs are a bit older, so I think it'd be a bit stressful for them.
And you just can't take them up to Seminyak in Bali, can you?
No, you can't. No. Quarantine.
It's been a very big show. We need to say thank you to Anthony Femia from Maker and Munga at Pran Market. We need to say thank you to the lovely Alice Zaslavsky. She's out this morning about the birdcage at the races. And also to Steve from QT Hotels. And I do recommend you go and have a look at the 11th floor.
I will.
Just around the corner from Joy here, up on the rooftop. It's quite... You can that's it, just there, you can see it. Go and have a look at QT, and of course if you are going to do any of that, just make sure you do it responsibly.
Absolutely.
All about responsibility. We shall return next week. Do you think we have any idea what we're going to talk about next week?
Probably too soon to tell.
Yeah, it's sort of getting into that middle of November. We need to start thinking about the stupid season.
That's right, and there's plenty to talk about there.
Well, that will keep us going until Christmas, I'm sure. But we will, of course, return. We need to say thank you to Peter, who is our podcaster, who every Monday night you can download a podcast. Go to joy.org.au/cravings. Download podcasts. There are hundreds of them. Thanks to Linda for her constant interaction with our program. And we know it's getting very close to birthday time. It's probably an hour or two away. So happy birthday for your tomorrow, our today, Linda. And enjoy Halloween, which I'm sure is going to be much bigger for Linda than it is
for
us. So we'll hand you over to the escape pod, Mark and Andre, in the seat today. And we shall return next Saturday. Until then, this has been Cravings. We have been Ted Lombardo and Pete Dillon. You are on Australia's favourite gay and lesbian radio station, which is Joy 94.9. You can find us on the interwebs until next week. Have a very pleasant afternoon. It's all yours, Escape Pod.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.